And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world, being broadcast from our studios in Austin, Texas, but through the wonderful power of shortwave radio over Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, and of course, universally with our streaming audio on powerofprophecy.com in crystal clear clarity. Well, so great to be with you today. And it's such an important topic today that I have to say I've been excited about today's subject for some weeks. I put it on the schedule and I wanted to make sure that, you know, I had prayed about it and contemplated, studied these things, because I want to make sure that you and I, I guess to use a colloquialism today, that we're on the same wavelength. We have an understanding. I think that's very important. You know, that we have knowledge otherwise you perish if you don't have a knowledge. Especially today when America, the world, you and I and our families are in such dire straits, a black form of jeopardy seems to just overshadow America. And people are worried that at any moment the hammer will come down and everything will be destroyed. There's an imminent, ominous feeling in the world today. Do you sense that? It's you get up in the morning and you want to be happy and you want to be carefree and joyous. But it's like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. I remember a very fearful short story I read by Edgar Allan Poe when I was a young high school boy called The Pit and the Pendulum. And a man was tied down or fastened down to a floor, and suddenly way above him he saw the pendulum, the swinging back and forth of a massive sword. Or some kind of a cutting instrument. And it drew closer and closer to his body. And of course, if it didn't stop at some point, he knew he would be dead. Imagine the whole world seems to be in bondage, in captivity, in some kind of a pit, and a huge sword or pendulum swings back and forth, closer and closer. Who controls the pendulum? Who put us in the pit? Who are they? Many years ago, I opened up the newspapers as a young boy, and there on the entertainment page, they had a big ad for a movie at the theaters. Now, this will really date me, but that's okay. It was entitled, one word, Them. Them. Well, you know, even as a young man, I wanted to know who them were. Who are they? Them. Well, in that case, it turned out that they were these huge ants. That's A-N-T-S. And, you know, that was the early days of nuclear power, the atomic bomb. And they said because of testing of nuclear bombs, the radiation had got to the ants, just regular fire ants, you know, that are smaller than, well, you know, just an eighth of an inch or so. But because of atomic radiation, and remember, scientists didn't really know what the effects or side effects, whatever you want to call it, of nuclear explosions and radiation would be. And some people feared that things could get out of a hand. And anyway, the producers of this movie theorized that ants could become as big as automobiles, or even bigger. And of course, armies of ants could take over the world, and each one would be as big as an elephant. And the whole movie was spent, you know, fighting these ants with flamethrowers and them. A little bit frightening. Of course, now some people call that sort of camp. That's just sort of fun to see an old movie like that. Who would have ever thought ants could grow to gigantic size because of atomic radiation? Well, they had a good imagination back then, I suppose. Seems like they have a richer, fertile imagination today, looking at science fiction and movies and so forth. Them. Everybody wants to know who them are, or they. When we get in the area of conspiracy, everyone seems to know that they are out there. They want a new world order. They control the banks. They control corporate world finance, Washington, D.C., London, England, Rome, Italy, Moscow. They are in charge, and they are dangerous, and they are evil and sinister, and they want a total dictatorship. They are going to end up to be worse than Hitler and Stalin and Vladimir Lenin and Attila the Hun, all combined. They. But the question still is, who are they? Who are they? You know, all my life I've been a voracious student of politics and history. And it's really, I have to say, reading books on politics and history probably have given me my greatest thrills in life, other than, you know, knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I've seen, not only read thousands of books and articles on history and politics, but I've viewed many historical and political films and documentaries. And of course, I have a college degree, a university degree in political science, and I've taught basically World War III to officer trainees in the U.S. Air Force and at the University of Texas. I really studied the history of war, of warfare. That's what I taught at the University of Texas. History of aerospace, air wars. I wanted to know who was responsible for wars. It seems that all men want peace. Well, they say they do. They strive for peace, but most of the time we're fighting wars. We're killing each other. Very destructive. Destroys economies. Destroys entire nations. Who's responsible for these wars? Who are the guilty parties? I noticed there's always been something missing. There's a missing link in politics. If you study World War I, you come out scratching your head. Who started it? Oh, I know there was an assassination in Austria-Hungary of some, you know, member of royalty. And the next thing you know, everybody's fighting and killing each other. Doesn't make much sense. In World War II, America was attacked by Japan December 7th, 1941. Suddenly we're at war with Germany. How did that happen? Why not the Soviet Union? They seem to be more of an enemy to the whole world than Nazi Germany. Why not Stalin and the Soviet Empire? Who chose Germany? Well, some people would say, well, they attacked Poland in 1939, and that set off World War II. That's what the encyclopedias say. But true history tells us that even before that 1939 period, the foreign minister, equivalent to our Secretary of State, of Germany, a Mr. Ribbentrop, signed a pact, an agreement with Soviet Russia. Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia. Soviet Russia's leaders, including Molotov and Mikoyan, their foreign minister, signed the agreement with Ribbentrop of Germany, in which the Soviet Union agreed with Nazi Germany that they would both invade Poland and half it. Now that's nice, isn't it? Poor Poland stuck historically, had the bad misfortune to sit geographically between two great empires, Germany and Russia or the Soviet Union. And Stalin lusted after Poland, and Hitler and Germany lusted after Poland. So they signed the Ribbentrop Agreement, which said, we'll both attack it. It will honor each other. And Russia, Soviet Union, you commies, you take the eastern half, and we German Nazis will take the western half. So they carved up Poland and divided it, and each one, as the Germans attacked from the west, the Russians and Stalin attacked from the east. And poor Poland was caught in the middle, and within 30 days, it was all over for Poland. But it seems that England and France and other countries said, we will not allow the Germans to get away with this. And they declared war on Germany. But they did not declare war on Russia. Isn't that strange? Both Germany and Russia attacked Poland. But the cause of the war, we are told, is that Germany attacked Poland. Very odd, isn't it? World War II ended with Russia owning, possessing all of Poland. But no one declared war against Stalin and Russia. If World War II was caused because Hitler invaded one half of Poland, then shouldn't World War III have ensued when Russia seized all of Poland? You see, it makes no sense. None whatsoever. But even taking what we know, things can get a little ridiculous. Imagine now, if you open up the newspapers on December the 8th, 1941, and you see that President Franklin Roosevelt had declared that the previous day, on the morning of December the 7th, an unknown nation or party had attacked America at Pearl Harbor and destroyed much of our naval fleet. And because of that, Roosevelt was asking the Congress, was going to ask the Congress, to declare war on this unknown group, party, or nation. What would be the first question you would ask? You would say, I'm positive you would, if you have any sense, and I know my audience has a lot of good sense, you would say, well, who is that unknown party? Who, what nation, what group? Who had the audacity to attack America? Who is our enemy? Who are we going to declare war against? Well, what if your nation told you, well, we can't tell you that, but they're our enemy. It's them. It's them we've got to fight. They are the ones who've attacked us. They are the ones that want to destroy us. But who are they? Well, we can't tell you that. We can just say they're evil. They're sinister. They're cruel. They're merciless. They must be stopped. And you beg and get on your knees and plead, well, who are they? We cannot tell you that. But we know they're there. Look at all the damage they've done and threatened to do. I think the first thing you'd probably do is take Franklin Roosevelt out and lynch him. Then you'd start with all the newspapers that are hiding who they are. What if in your little neighborhood, your town or your city, and within a mile or so, you got a circular delivered to your door and it said, there's a serial killer that's loose. This serial killer is dangerous. He's already killed 100 people in your neighborhood. He could kill you next. If you call the police, they say, well, this circular doesn't say what he looks like. Is he black man? Is he Chinese man? Is he white? Is he Hispanic? Well, we just can't tell you that. But have you seen him? Well, sort of. Is he heavy set? Is he thin? Is he 7 foot tall or 4 foot tall? Well, All of those things. All of them. Is he killing people with a knife or with a gun or what? Well, all of the above. Who do I look for? Who is the enemy? That we cannot say, but watch out. There's a serial killer about. Is he male or female? We can't say. You would probably get your friends and launch an attack on the police station and just go ahead and hang the police chief for being that stupid. Especially if later you discover that he knew all along what the enemy looked like. You would do the same thing if FDR, if you discovered that it was the Japanese and they'd been hiding that fact from you. Today, there are hundreds and hundreds of researchers on the global conspiracy. But it seems like they don't know or they won't tell you who they are. Who are the conspirators? You can listen all day long to some of the most popular radio talk shows. Now, Rush Limbaugh would tell you it's the Republicans. And I suppose if you listen to Keith Olbermann at MSNBC, he would tell you the enemy is, Rush Limbaugh would say the Democrats. Keith Olbermann and Ms. Madoff over at MSNBC would tell you the enemy, of course, is the Republicans. You could get pretty confused if you really believe them, that our enemy in America is Democrats or Republicans, because I don't think that makes a difference at all. Now, I have long realized that if you don't know who the enemy is, you're going to go off half-cocked and do something wrong or stupid. Or better, you'll probably just do nothing, and you could end up dead. We must know who they are. Now, for the past 25 years, I've been here at Power of Prophecy Ministries. We used to be called Living Truth Ministries. Now we're Power of Prophecy, the same ministry in a sense. And I've exposed secret society after secret society, international group after international group. You know, if you want to find out about the Bohemian Grove, we have a CD on it, a tape. If you want to know about the Order of Skull and Bones, I've got books on that. And tapes. The Rosicrucians, the Masonic Order, I've got materials on that for you. There's, of course, many others. The Bilderbergers, we've got a tape, the CD on that for you. Look at all the groups, the P2 Lodge, the OTO, the Priory of Zion, as I mentioned, the Order of Skull and Bones, the Pilgrim Society, the Scottish Rite, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. We've exposed them all. And you can get lost in researching each one of those. I used to subscribe to a magazine called The New American, put out by the John Birch Society. Had some good material in it, but they never told you who they were. Oh, they would say, oh, they're pro-communist. They have put together groups like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. They. Is that it? The CFR and Trilateral Commission? If that's who our enemies are, then we can fight them. We can defeat them. But it seems like there's hundreds of others. As I've told you, the Bohemian Grove, the Scottish Rite, the Order of Skull and Bones. It goes on and on and on. The World Economic Forum, the G20. There's, of course, the Vatican, the Jesuit Order, the Jesuits, the Knights of Columba, the Knights of Malta, Opus Dei. Seems that Dan Brown put out these books, The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and other best-selling books, and he says, shh, listen close, it's the Opus Dei. I think the Masons turn out to be the good guys. I'm not so sure, but I believe so in Dan Brown's account. Now, you know, I've also exposed religious groups. I wrote a whole book called New Age Cults and Religions. You can discover the truth about the Mormons, about the Jehovah's Witnesses, about everything bizarre and evil among the religious groups. I guess it all comes down to, you remember that TV show, The X Factor? Well, they sort of suggested it was UFO aliens. And a lot of people do believe it's UFO aliens. I get letters all the time. Tex, our enemy are the grays, are the reptilians, the UFOs. Well, X Factor suggested, and I remember each of the programs, I only watched a few of the TV shows. They were mildly interesting and amusing to me. But they had a little motto. It was something like, the truth is out there, somewhere. Yeah, I always enjoyed the Twilight Zone. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. And then this eerie music. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But it never really told me who they are. Then there's the environmental groups, you know. They've come up with all these hoaxes. You know, the ozone layer. Well, that didn't pan out. Global warming. Well, now that's going down by the wayside. And look at all the money and the lobby groups they've got. The Nature Conservancy, Earth First, the Sierra Club. A lot of crackpots there. Probably dangerous to a great extent, but that's not them. That's not they. The New Age movement gives us the Lucis Trust, World Goodwill, all kinds of organizations. And then they tell you about these ascended masters, the hierarchy in the other world. Are they pulling the strings of earthly puppets, these ascended masters? Benjamin Krem of a group called Share says Maitreya is coming, the new world leader. The Christ for our age. He's not Jesus. He's the Lord Maitreya. Of course, Krem has been claiming that he's coming for decades. He hasn't come yet. So we're sitting here today in a quandary. Every good patriot wants to fight them, smash them. If we only knew who they were. Why so many front groups? Why so many hundreds, maybe even thousands of organizations? You see, they've got it designed so that you can study all of your life. I know my friends, some of my friends that say, Tex, you don't understand. It's the Jesuits. And they spend their whole life just focusing on the Jesuits. As I said, the John Birch Society says it's the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. I remember Senator Barry Goldwater, he ran for president on the Republican ticket in 64. He said the two groups most dangerous to America are the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. He said the CFR wants to control and run America, whereas the Trilateral Commission, founded by Brzezinski, but mostly by Rockefeller, wants to bring all the world together in three different parts. You know, that would be Europe, then Asia, then the Americas. The Trilateral Commission. We don't hear a lot about the Trilateral Commission today. I think it's because David Rockefeller Sr. has gotten a little bit older and he's not quite as active as he was. Now, the Council on Foreign Relations continues to be a very powerful organization. But is it the CFR that runs the whole world? I don't think so. In fact, I know it's not. Are the members of the CFR evil? There are about 3,200 members. Yes, they are. And most of our diplomats and our top bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., all the way up to Barack Obama, are members of the CFR. The most prestigious senators and congressmen as well. Corporate leaders, on and on. Members of the CFR. Yes, they are. But that's not the real enemy. I was reading a book called The Perfectibilist about the 18th century Bavarian Order of the Illuminati. A lot of people say that's them. It's the Illuminati. They're responsible. Of course it is. But who are they? Well, the Illuminati, some people say, they're the enlightened ones. They're illumined. And they've congregated themselves in hundreds of groups, but they are the ones behind it all. Well, who are they? Can you get more specific than that? You know, in my book, Circle of Intrigue, I talk about the global conspiracy. I even have a list at the back, sort of who's who of the elite. List them by position. There's generals and presidents and chancellors. There's chairman of the Fed Reserve boards and the central banks of Europe and so forth. But when it gets right down to it, there's a very shadowy, sinister, evil faction behind all of them. Oh, I list the banking group, the secret societies, the globalist organizations. Who funds all of them? Who has set this up? Who is the great designer of world evil? Adam Weishaupt, who founded the original Order of the Illuminati on May 1, 1776, in this book, The Perfectibilist by Terry Melanson, he said, "The great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place in its own name, but always covered by another name and another occupation." Then he talked about they would establish numerous reading societies and subscription libraries and all kinds of organizations, and they would come under our direction, the Illuminati's direction, and we would supply them. With them, we will turn the public mind whichever way we will, he said. He even mentions Freemasonry. But that was just sort of a cover group for the Illuminati. They sort of merged with Freemasonry and took it over and used it for foul purposes around the world. They continue to do that, of course, today. They continue, they, to use religions, to use banking, to use politics, they. The question still remains, who are they? Now, I know a few friends of mine that have some of the most popular talk shows in America, and I've gotten discussions with them about who they are. And to my surprise, I discover these men do know. They do know. But even in talking with me about it, there was a frightened look on their face, a furtive, scary atmosphere at the dinner table as we talked. You know, one man told me, I would like to expose them, they, but I would be destroyed in the process. Another told me, you know, there's so many radio stations that would cut me off if I told people who they are. Another told me most of the people who make it possible for me to have a large following, a radio program, a TV show, most of them would desert me. They would call me names. Some would call me a kook if I unmask who they are. I can't afford that. Oh, yes. It cost you to reveal the truth. It's always cost men and women a great price to stand up and tell the truth. I'm going to take a break now. When we return, we're going to tell you who they are. You'll be surprised at the source. The source that I've got is so authoritative, it cannot be denied who they are. I'm going to tell you who they are. And maybe some of the things that we can do about them or they when we return. This is Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, my good pal Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Seems like everybody from Great Britain has three names. You know, you can't just have one name, can you? They're so formal over there. You know, I lived almost, well, I guess a little bit over 2.5 years or so in Germany. And so many of the Germans were such wonderful people, but they're a little formal. You know, if a guy's a doctor, they call him Dr. Mister. It's not enough to just say Dr. Jones, you know. You're Dr. Mister Jones. And I always sort of laughed about that. You know, air doctor, hair doctor. And you're not chancellor, you're air chancellor, you're Mr. Chancellor. It's really humorous. A lot of Germans, you know, don't like to call you by your first name till they get to know you a little bit better. They call you Mr. and Mrs. Well, okay, or Miss, or whatever you are. Well, I'm not too formal around here, so Andy, we'll just call him Andy. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Andy Hitchcock from Great Britain. Hey, we Texans and Americans, we get right down to it, right? We forget all the formalities. In any case, Andy, as we will, has written really one of the most terrific books that you could ever read. It's called The Synagogue of Satan. The Synagogue of Satan. We'll be talking right here on this program about the Synagogue of Satan more, but I want to invite you to buy the book by Hitchcock called The Synagogue of Satan. I believe it's the only book ever published on this subject that really just gets down home and tells you all about the Synagogue of Satan. And it's a chronological book. You can go all the way back in history, really to the Roman days up to now, and learn about the Jews, Judaism, and the Synagogue of Satan. Some people say to me, well, Mr. Hitchcock shouldn't have named it the Synagogue of Satan. That puts a religious tint to it. To which I would respond, so? Is there a God or is there not? If you believe there's a God, then there's got to be a church or a group that believes in God. And if there's a Satan who opposes God, and look around the world, and who can deny that there's a horrible evil force that we know as the individual or person or spirit named Satan? Look at the evil that he's done in the world. And if there's a church of the living God, there's a synagogue of Satan. Just the way it is. Who's behind the synagogue of Satan? What are they up to? And what influence do they have in America? And what does it mean for your destiny and my destiny, my future and yours? All of that is bound up in the book by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, or just Hitchcock. It's hard for you to remember that name. Well, just ask for The Synagogue of Satan by Alfred Hitchcock. We'll still know who's the writer, but it's not Alfred. Although he may have given us a few scary things in his movies, I think this book is a little bit more scary than Alfred Hitchcock ever produced on the cinematic film. Okay, here's how to get the book. Jerry's over at my broadcast equipment area there. See, I think the book is $20. Am I right? Okay, thank you. $20. Exactly $20 for the book, Synagogue of Satan. And by the way, I was very pleased and privileged to be asked by Mr. Hitchcock of Great Britain to write the foreword for this book. So there's a foreword in there, in which I explain a group of Jews called the Khazars. Today, the encyclopedias call them the Ashkenazi Jews. Very interesting. The Khazar Jews. I talk about that in the foreword to the book. So if you've heard about the Khazars and you want to know more about them, get this book. And there it is, the Khazar Jews, the ones that are causing a lot of trouble and tumult and turmoil in the world today. Okay, again, Synagogue of Satan, $20. It's available online at powerofprophecy.com. Or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. Use your charge card and ask for the Synagogue of Satan, $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. So a total of $25 postpaid. A book and that you, I know, will agree with me is like nothing that's ever been published. Telling the truth about the synagogue of Satan. Our address now for that book is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, if you'd like to write to me about today's program, if you've got something to say, maybe a comment, a criticism, I'll be glad to read your letter. I love to get letters from my friends, emails. You can email me. Let's see, that would be prophecy@texmars.com. Prophecy@texmars.com. Send me a letter, email. Write to me again now, the address, and maybe the Holy Spirit will lead you to give to this ministry. We're one of the only ones in the world doing what we do. And without your help, we wouldn't be here. We can keep sending out our newsletter, publishing our material on our website, and, of course, offering this radio program only because of your help. So if you'd like to help, please make a contribution, donation, and offering to Power Prophecy. We're at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can make a donation online at powerprophecy.com. On the homepage, it'll be a click-on box there to donate, to give to this ministry. It's very easy to do. So please help us out in that regard, won't you? We'd appreciate it so much. If you don't have a cent to give us, I know what you can do. I know what you can do. You can pray for us. I think that's more powerful than money. Of course, you can give and pray. Wonderful. But I know you can pray for us. And God is still on the throne. He's going to be on the throne forever. And he hears the prayers of the saints. Won't you pray for us that we'll be successful as we fight evil and uphold righteousness here at Power of Prophecy? I'd so much appreciate it if you would. If you have a prayer need, write to us. Email me or write that address in Austin, Texas, and let me know what your prayer needs are. And I promise you, we will pray for you, okay? We will pray for you. It's our privilege. It's our honor. If you don't ask, because I'm going to be real angry at you, I might just quit this whole show. I might just chuck it all up. Say that they don't, Jerry, they don't love us. They're not even asking us for prayer. I sort of feel that way. You know, if a person doesn't ask me for prayer, that means they don't believe that God is on the throne and they don't believe that Tex Mars believes in prayer. And I do. It's never failed me. Let me say something right now, and I want to be kind, but I don't pray enough, and I know that I'm an idiot. You always need more prayer. And if you're not praying for what you need in life, now notice I didn't say for the luxuries and for riches, but for the needs and for the needs of your loved ones. If you're not praying, you're just cheating yourself. You're cheating your loved ones. Prayer is miraculous. Now let's return to our regular program again. We're here at Power of Prophecy. I told you on this half we would tell you who they are. Now, if you've been following Power Prophecy and Tex Mars for some years, you probably already know what I'm going to say. You probably do. But maybe there's a few things that you may be surprised about. You see, I searched the whole world. I've exposed all of these secret societies. And I don't know of any other ministry or group anywhere in the world that has exposed more secret societies, globalist organizations, and false religions than Tex Mars and Power Prophecy. We've exposed everything from the Jesuits to the Vatican's Opus Dei, to the Masonic Orders, to the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem and the Grand Orient Lodge of France and the Bohemian Grove and the Order of Skull and Bones. And after all of that, I can honestly say, if that's all that you knew about this ministry, you would not know who they are. I've exposed CFR, Trilateral Commission, many times. And all you have to do is get our catalog here of all of our products and such to see all the CDs and videotapes and audios and books that we've got on those subjects. But after all is said and done, it's not the prodigious amount of human study, and nobody can equal us. I want to say that again. Now, is that prideful to say that? It's just truthful. It's truthful. I've exposed even Christianity and the false movements, you know, the prosperity gospel and all this word of faith junk within Christianity. Nevertheless, I have, in doing all those things, you could not have gleaned who they are. That's why so many fail. So many talk show hosts, so many patriot groups, they fail because they're either frightened or they're ignorant. It's one or the other. They're either frightened or they're ignorant. But I keep seeing more and more leaders in the patriot and truth movements who are getting off the fence, who are declaring, I'm not going to be fearful anymore. Praise God for them. Some say, I don't care what happens to me, I must tell the truth. I'm just compelled by God to tell the truth. Good for them. But on the other end, I see some that are drawing back more and more into their little shells, hiding back in the caves. Oh, they come out for their radio programs, and then they slink back in the caves and hide. They know who they are, but they're frightened to tell you. They're afraid that they will come after them. You know, after 25 years, I finally discovered I had to go back to the one source who you can always rely on, who will always tell you the truth about who they are. And I don't know why I've studied all these other groups. Maybe I wasted my time. I don't know. It's sort of titillating to know everything about the Bohemian Grove and the CFR. It's exciting and interesting to know about the Order of Skull and Bones and their secret initiation and the tomb where the 15 initiates a year live. But it doesn't tell me who the enemy is. And if you don't know who the enemy is, you're going to lose the battle. You can't win. You can't protect yourself. You know who that source is. It's God. It's the Holy Bible. Here is a reliable, infallible authority. Does the incomparable Word of God tell us who the last day's enemy is? Who can we look to tell us the truth? God. It's as simple as that. It provides the answer. Absolutely, with certainty, identifies who they are. We don't have to be in doubt. Now, let me start off by telling you that the Bible makes clear that there is a cosmic conspiracy. A cosmic conspiracy. It's beyond the material world of trees and dirt and nations and borders that you see. It's beyond the buildings of the United Nations and this parliament and that parliament and this Federal Reserve Board building and this Supreme Court building, et cetera, et cetera. It's beyond that. There is a realm. There is an unseen a place all around us. And it's just throbbing with activity of evil beings. The Bible says that Satan walks to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he may devour. It says that he is the prince of the power of air. It says he is God of this world. There is a God of the universe, capital G. And he came in the flesh as Jesus. But there is a God, small g, of this world. Paul said he was God. He controls the powers of this world. Now, God can countermand him and undo him anytime he wants. As far as God is concerned, Satan is almost like an errand boy. So don't get mixed up as to who's in charge. God is in command of everything. But for his own purposes, and we could debate that for weeks on end and have a great time doing it. I love to debate the word of God. But the fact is that Satan is God of this world, and he has authority over his world until a certain date in history. And the Bible even says in the book of Revelation that he is furious in the last days because he knows the days are short. His time is drawing to a close, and he's angry about it. He's going to be finished. It's back to the pit, you and your angels. God prepared a hell for him and his dark angels. But Satan wants to take you there with him. And he's very successful. It says in the book of Habakkuk that hell is being enlarged all the time. Construction in America is way down, they say, because of the recession. But listen, would you like a building job, a construction job? I can give you one. Just follow the devil. And he will eventually take you down there, and you'll have work for the rest of your life. Engineer, carpenter, plumber, plenty of work. You're not going to enjoy it. It's going to make you pretty miserable. A fiery hell, can you imagine? But they're building, they're enlarging it all the time because there's so many souls going down there. I mean, it's the fastest growing cities in the universe are in hell. And new buildings are going up all the time. New prisons, I should say. So we have to understand we start with the devil. We start with certain entities. Rebellious spirits. They rebelled against God and now their fate is sealed. But their destiny doesn't have to be yours, but it could be. But don't think for a moment they're not using human agents, human disciples. God uses human disciples for his kingdom, the greater kingdom, and there is the lesser kingdom, with a small k, right here on earth. You'll remember that Satan even offered it to Jesus Christ. Out in the wilderness, he took him up to a high point, and he said, look out over all the kingdoms of the earth. And Satan said, they're mine, and I can give them to you if you'll just bow down and follow me. Christ never said, the devil, you're lying, they're not yours, you don't own them. Satan could not have got away with that. Christ knew very well what was Satan and what was not Satan's. And the kingdoms of this world belong to Satan and are his to give to whoever he wants. If he wants to give them to Vladimir Putin and Mr. Cameron in England and Mr. Obama in America and Rothschilds and the Bronfmans, he can do it. It's his, but he can't give away heaven. That's not his. He would like to have it, but he can't. It's not his to give. And heavenly Jerusalem is a place where God promises you citizenship if you'll believe in him, have faith in Jesus Christ. And there's no devils there. There's only light. There's only goodness. There's only our Savior. There's only joy, eternal bliss, heavenly Jerusalem. The devil doesn't have any part of it, but he owns earthly Jerusalem. In fact, that's called Sodom and Egypt in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Chapter 9, verse 11, Sodom and Egypt, that's Jerusalem here on earth in the last days. But don't just knock Jerusalem. Think of Tokyo and Rio de Janeiro and New York City and San Francisco. And London, all of them, evil cities. Now listen to me. I want to explain to you. So many of you have said, Tex, why are you always knocking the Jews? Why have you become an anti-Semite? Why can't you just tell us about the CFR and the Bohemian Grove and all of these groups and the environmental movements and the false religions like Mormonism and all that? I've done all that, friends, and I'm going to keep doing it because that's Satan's kingdom, and I like to expose it. I like to unmask it. But you have to understand who among all the disciples of earth has the utmost authority. How do you find that? You go to the book of Revelation. It tells you in the last days who has the authority on earth. First of all, it's Satan's, this cosmic conspiracy. Rebellious angels headed for the pit. But now they're amongst us. They are amongst us. And they are actually possessing human souls. And they're using these human souls. They're guiding them to bring about this world kingdom of incredible, immense evil. We don't even know evil. We think we've seen it in World War II and World War I. And back in history, we've seen great massacres and genocides and holocausts. You haven't seen anything to what's coming. With this great conspiracy, this cosmic conspiracy, and this earthly conspiracy. There is a conspiracy right here on earth of human beings that are led by Satan. from the cosmic realm. And the amazing thing is God has told us all about it in his Bible. Now I want you to read with me, dear friends. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." Did you get that, friends? This is the message. This is a letter to the church, to Christians. And these things are being said. It's a message by someone who is holy, who is true, someone who has the key of David, someone who can open and no man can shut it, and they can shut it and no man can open it. This is the ultimate source, and he said these things to you and me through the Apostle John. 1900 years ago, he said these things. If you don't pay attention to this, please just reach over and turn off the radio. Undo what you're doing. Go out and watch a football game. Go drink a six pack of beer. But if you want to know what God said about the last days and who they are, listen up, because the one who is holy, who is true, who can shut the door, can open the door, and no man can undo what he has done. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." I'm getting emotional because you have to understand, God knows our works. He knows we're not perfect, but isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful that he says here, "I've opened the door for you. I have set before you an open door." Don't tell me we can't defeat the conspirators. God has set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. Obama can't shut it. Rothschild cannot shut it. Why is he good to us in this way? He says, because you have just a little strength. Just a little strength. You don't need a lot of strength. You don't need to be Hercules in the spiritual or economic realm. You don't need all the money in the world. You don't need the military power. You've only got a little strength. But you have kept my word, and you've not denied my name, which is Jesus. Don't deny the name of Christ Jesus. He will give you whatever strength you need. You may say it's not enough. He judges what is not enough and what is. Now, he's telling you, I've set before you an open door. You have the strength, whatever you need. I'm going to make it possible. Why? Not because you're rich, not because you're powerful, but because you have not denied my name, and you've kept my word, which is the New Testament. Behold, verse 9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Who is the enemy of God and of man in the last days? It is the synagogue of Satan. And God says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and lie down, they'll bow at your feet. I know the Jews hate to hear that. I know the rabbis can't stand these passages, but that's what God said he would do. Verse 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, the mark of the beast, that no man can buy nor sell, save he that has the mark or the name or the number of the beast, the hour of temptation that is to come upon the whole world, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 13 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you have an ear to hear. Are you closing that ear right now saying, I don't want to be an anti-Semite? Besides, the Jews are so powerful. The synagogue of Satan is so strong, I can't defeat it. I don't have the strength. I'm a radio talk show host, but I'll be cut off of stations. Why, they may fire me at my job. My neighbors may hate me. They'll call me politically incorrect. They'll call me intolerant. They'll call me a bigot. They'll call me a racist. Okay. That's what they call Tex Mars. I don't mind it so much. As long as I know the truth. I'm not discriminating against anybody. I don't hate anybody. You can call me anything you want to. I'm just a truth teller. I just read to you what the greatest authoritative source in the world said in the last days. Now we get very quickly over to Revelation 2, another revelation source. Beginning with verse 8, it says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's Jesus. I know thy works. Oh, he knows every church, every human being's works. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Oh my. These people are in great tribulation. Oh, they're in pain. And they're poverty stricken, but not in the spirit. They're rich in the spirit. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You say, how can they be Jews and are not? Well, one of the answers to that riddle is very simple. Paul said, a Jew is not one who's in the flesh as a Jew or who has been circumcised, but a real Jew is one who's in the spirit, born again. Put this old flesh aside, become a new creature. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again in spirit and in truth. You can all day say, I am of Abraham and my fleshly blood and heritage is that, and my DNA is that. And Jesus said, I know what your seed is. Your seed is of Satan. That's a spiritual thing. Forget the fleshly things, God said. Flesh cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Forget the flesh. Forget the earthy. Think of the spiritual manna, my friends. And then verse 10, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Friends, the synagogue of Satan is going to cause some of us to go to prison, to be tried, to have tribulation, suffering, pain. But be faithful to Jesus Christ unto death, and he will give you a crown of life. Verse 11 again says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Are you an overcomer? Do you believe what God said? Is it the synagogue of Satan? Yes, it is. Did he talk about a Islamic mosque? No. Did he talk about a Buddhist temple? No. Did he talk about the CFR headquarters in New York City or Washington? No. Is it the United Nations building in New York that God warns us about? No. What is it? It's the synagogue of Satan. Either believe God or go and serve the devil. I give you that choice this very day. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. I pray you will choose God. I pray you will serve him. And I pray too you'll tune in each week and during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.